As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow, along with Tom Keene and Michael McKee, and the opening bell brought to you by SEI. Imagine a global operating platform designed to deliver a differentiated and technologically rich investor experience. Find out how SEI can help you succeed at SEIC.com/imagine. Stocks lower at the open, the S&P 500 down 0.2% or 4 points to 2094. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.2% or 29 points to 17,759. The Nasdaq's down 0.2% or 11 points to 49.40. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield 1.81%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.8% or 87 cents to 48.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 60 cents to 12.14.20 an ounce. And the euro at $1.1186. The yen 108.74.
The Brexit vote. Coverage continues now on Bloomberg Radio.
Oh, that's dramatic music.
It's very Game of Thronesy.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they made the music in Ireland where they film a lot of games. It's like season 3 Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Who's our king here?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the Lannisters do bad things in season 3. Wait, they do bad things in every season.
In every season.
Excuse me.
And somebody always dies in the show. Well, we hope Jacob Kierkegaard will be with us throughout the rest of this program. He is with the Peterson Institute. And he joins us now to talk about the latest on Brexit.
Can I interrupt and
Absolutely.
Say that one of the white lanes north of the wall looks a lot like Adam Posen? Just I put the end there.
All right. Jacob, it's been an interesting turn lately to see the Brexit crowd gaining ground. It's kind of hard to figure out for the pollsters, apparently, what it is that the vote is actually turning on, people are using as their criteria for making a decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think what this vote is about is an ever bigger question. I mean, it seems to be more sort of a civil war inside the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, by the way. And the sort of issue of EU membership is really sort of only tangential. But I think what happened this week was that the Leave campaign finally sort of doubled down on what was always their strongest argument, which was immigration. Because immigration is an issue that touches the sort of identity politics and has a lot of people in the UK clearly worried. Because immigration into the UK has been very high in the 21st century, and some people are concerned about that. And David Cameron is also quite weak on this subject because as part of his election manifesto in 2015, he promised that he would keep immigration or net immigration into the UK below 100,000 a year. Yet the latest numbers for last year just came out and showed over 300,000. And the Leave campaign is saying, well, this is because we can't control our own borders. It's because of the freedom of movement of workers inside the EU. We got to take control of our borders. And that's an argument that has some appeal, quite clearly.
Is there something out there that you see that would the debate could turn on, or is it going to be up till June 23rd this kind of grinding change?
No, I think fundamentally the Leave campaign, in my opinion, has lost the economic argument. They have not been able to articulate a credible, what is the UK going to look like economically the day after Brexit. And that is why they have now, as I said earlier, swung to really pushing the immigration argument, and doing so while trying not to appear too nativist. Whether they will succeed, I am strongly doubtful, because the polls will also show that among the remaining swing voters, those that haven't made up their mind yet, the economy is the most important issue.
Right.
So I therefore believe that at the end of the day, that either a narrow or a slightly more comfortable victory for the Remain camp will still be there. But as I said, meanwhile, this is turning into an all-out civil war, particularly in the Conservative Party, where clearly
there are already
people in the conservative MPs who are saying that David Cameron needs to resign even if he wins the referendum. So his future might potentially be at risk even if he's successful.
What's great about Jacob Kierkegaard's research is you're really hard-nosed about it. My basic take is it's an elite debate. And most of us are not following the people. And as you mentioned very nicely, this is about the people. The FT today has a fabulous chart showing the mass polarity of this debate. You just said the distinction. You're saying this is not about immigration and migrant refugee dynamics in Europe, and it's about the actual UK economy?
Well, I'm saying that the vast majority, or many of the, in my opinion, probably the majority of the people who vote no, they're going to vote no because they're concerned about immigration. But what I am saying is that I believe that the economy is what's going to swing it in Remain's favor, because the majority of the remaining undecided are going to be basically voting, they're loss averse. They are status quo oriented.
Right.
And therefore, they will vote for the safe bet, which is to stay in.
And Mike, that's the key phrase. I'm going to have to steal that from Dr. Kierkegaard. Loss averse. it has a lot to do with it.
A demographic aspect to this, with older voters maybe more sympathetic to the idea of being outside the EU because they can remember when they were when there was no EU, and of course people at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale being more interested in leaving. How much of a role is that really going to play in the end?
No, I think that is a key issue here, because there's no doubt that, as you mentioned, older voters tend to be more inclined to leave, partly because, as you said, they can maybe remember that there was a world when the UK was not part of the EU, and they may be more nostalgic about Britain as a big colonial empire, etc.
Right.
And therefore, they may have the opinion that actually the UK does not have to share sovereignty, does not have to do things in common with the rest of Europe, but can do it alone. Whereas I think younger people, many of whom has always grown up in a Europe virtually without borders, they're used to nipping over to France, they're used to travel freely around, and for them, the past or the past that their parents' generation are sort of
Right. Hiking
back to doesn't exist.
Now, Jacob Kierkegaard, thank you so much. Peterson Institute with us as well. Dr. Kierkegaard, thank you so much. Mike, we've got some real movement in FX. Yen stronger, blowing through recent new strength. 108.60, dollar flat Euro crushed off the ending of the Draghi press conference, 111.67. Euro yen has moved 1.29, big figures. Stronger yen this morning.
Time now to check in with Michael Barr. Get the latest world and national headlines, Michael.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. Hillary Clinton is preparing to attack Donald Trump on his foreign policy. Clinton will use a speech in San Diego today to cast the Republican as unfit for office and dangerous. The former Secretary of State will seek to contrast her foreign policy experience with Trump's. The PGA Tour says it has nothing to do with politics, but they are moving next year's World Golf Championship from Donald Trump's course in Miami to Mexico City. Trump responded to the news at a rally in Sacramento last night.
They moved the World Golf Championships from Miami to Mexico City. Can you believe it?
Can you believe that?
Seven automakers are adding about 4.4 million vehicles in the U.S. to the massive Takata airbag inflator recall. Documents detailing recalls by General Motors, Volkswagen, Ford, Daimler Vans, BMW, Jaguar Land Rover, and Mercedes-Benz were posted today by the government. Takata inflators can malfunction and spew shrapnel into drivers and passengers when exposed to humidity and repeated hot and cold cycles. If you ask SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, people will be on Mars in just 9 years from now. Musk said that we should be able to launch people in 2024 with arrival in 2025. Global News, 24 hours a day. I'm Michael Barr. My stop.
They can listen to surveillance podcasts all lay out.
You can get it anywhere.
Store them on Mars.
Even on the red planet.
I can see it now. Yen surging 108.61 on dollar yen. We'll have much more on that. Bloomberg Surveillance. Stay with us.
Bloomberg Surveillance brought to you by Land Rover. Adventure shows for the taking. Visit Land Rover, tristate.com for special lease and financing offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.